If you have a Bible, you can turn with me to John. John chapter 11, the Gospel of John. I'm going to pause once more and we're going to pray before we dig into God's Word together. Father, thank you for your Word. Thank you for the awesome privilege of gathering together this morning to hear from you, to open your book, to listen to your words, to listen to your voice. So we pray that you would speak to us and give us ears to hear. Lord, we want to know you. We want to experience your truth in our lives. Experience the resurrection power that raised our Lord Jesus from the dead at work in our hearts to make us new. So I pray for each one here that is listening. I pray that you would open their minds and open their hearts to your truth, and that they would not so much hear my voice as hear your word. So we pray that you would speak. In Jesus' name, amen. Today's Resurrection Sunday, the day we celebrate our Lord and King triumphing over death. Jesus, experiencing deep emotional distress, betrayal by a friend, having run through multiple courts that made a mockery of justice, having been whipped, beaten, mocked, spit at, nailed to a cross, humiliated, died, a spear thrust into his heart to verify that he was dead, his corpse taken down, quickly embalmed, placed in a tomb with a massive stone rolled to seal the entrance, a guard placed to guard the tomb from any foul play. And those are just the physical things. Those are the outward things. The scriptures tell us that he died for our sins. For our sins. He endured the wrath of God toward every sin I have ever committed. I can't imagine the horror of that. And friends, after all that, Jesus didn't stay dead. Jesus is alive. Some of his followers showed up after the Sabbath was over, the morning of the first day of week, and found the stone had been removed from the entrance to the tomb. The body was missing. The grave clothes were there, but the body was gone. Jesus, according to the accounts we have preserved for us, began to appear to his followers, and over the next 40 days he presented himself as alive. He walked with them, he talked with them, he cooked, made a fire, ate breakfast, ate with his disciples, taught them. Sometimes one or two, sometimes the 11, sometimes large groups, even appearing on one occasion to more than 500. At the end of the 40 days, he went out with his disciples to Bethany, commissioned them to go and make disciples of all nations, and then ascended into the sky while they were all watching as he disappeared from sight. That's amazing. What do you think of that story? Different people will respond differently to that kind of news. There are several possible responses to a supernatural event like that, and I want to look at some of those responses with you this morning. Let me tell you another story, a different story. Early morning, April 17th, 1897, something crash-landed near North Texas, the North Texas town of Aurora. A newspaper described a mysterious cigar-shaped airship that ran into a windmill, spreading debris across several acres. Among the wreckage, someone found a small humanoid type body, which the one who found it described it as, quote, not an inhabitant of this world. That body is alleged to have been buried in the local cemetery there in Aurora. And there's a stone to mark that burial site. Is there an alien buried in Aurora, Texas? You chuckle. Is it a hoax? What do you think of that story? Many people would view the resurrection of Jesus, the ascension of Jesus, as not much different from some crazy alien story. I tell that story not because I think there's any truth to it or any real similarity between it and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus, but only to demonstrate that there are a lot of different responses people have to the supernatural, to unbelievable news. So what do we do with that? Turn with me in your Bibles to John chapter 11 if you're not there already. I want to look at the resurrection of Lazarus. Jesus raised his friend from the dead shortly before he went to the cross and subsequently raised from the dead. And I want to look through the lens of this passage at some of the different responses people had to the supernatural manifestation of Jesus' divine power. I think as we look at this, each of us will be able to identify what our response to Jesus' resurrection is. What you think really happened in Aurora, Texas in 1897 doesn't make much difference at all in your life today. Maybe you believe, maybe you don't. What does it matter? What you believe about the resurrection of Jesus makes all the difference. And the way you live your life will be radically different depending on what your response is to this amazing news. Now in John chapter 11, we read that Jesus purposely waited 2 days after he had received the word that his friend Lazarus was very ill. Then he told his disciples that Lazarus had died, and he intended to go raise him from the dead so that they would believe. This was all intentional. Jesus could have gone the moment, and the people said, well, you could have healed him of the sickness. He says, no, I'm gonna hang around here 2 days, wait till he's good and dead, and then I'm gonna go and raise him from the dead so that you will believe in me. That was purposeful action on Jesus' part. Jesus arrives near the village of Bethany, and when he gets there, Lazarus had now been dead 4 days. Martha, Lazarus's sister, one of Lazarus's sisters, comes out to speak with Jesus, and then Jesus sends Martha back and says, go get your sister Mary. Mary comes back, and Mary, when she hurriedly gets up and leaves, all the Jews that were there mourning with her follow her. They're wondering, you know, she's probably going out to the tomb to mourn. So she's got a crowd. She's got a group that come with her. She talks to Jesus. Jesus says, where is he? Let's go. Goes to the tomb. He says, roll away the stone. She says, that's not a good idea, Lord. He's been dead 4 days, and at that point, a corpse begins to putrefy, and it's going to stink. So we don't want to open the tomb. Jesus says, open the tomb. Don't you know who I am? I'm the resurrection and the life. She says, oh yeah, I know. The dead will be raised in the last times. And Jesus says, I am the resurrection. Do you not know? Open the tomb. So with the crowd, with the group, the tomb is opened. Jesus prays to his Father out loud, not because God is hard of hearing, and he says in his prayer, I pray for the sake of the crowd gathered here so that they understand who I am and who you are. He speaks to his Father. And then Jesus talks to Lazarus, the dead guy. He says, "Lazarus, come forth. Lazarus, come out." And at Jesus' word, the dead guy, still bound in his burial mummification, the strips of linen cloth binding him hand and foot, a cloth wrapped around his head, somehow comes out of the tomb alive. And then Jesus says to the crowd who's there, he says, "Set him free. He's all tied up. He's going to die again if you don't get that stuff off his face. He can't breathe. Set him free. Loose him." And so you have these eyewitnesses who participate in unraveling the burial clothes of Lazarus. That would have been an amazing event to witness. Supernatural event. Someone dead 4 days, raised by a word from this teacher from Galilee. John 11:45 says this, "Many of the Jews, therefore, who had come with Mary and had seen what he did, believed in him." There's one response, and we'll come back to that. But, verse 46, "Some of them went to the Pharisees and told them what Jesus had done." There's another response. Again, we'll come back to that. Verse 47, "So the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered the council and said, 'What are we to do? For this man performs many signs. If we let him go on like this, everyone will believe in him. And the Romans will come and take away both our place and our nation.'" We start to see some different responses to the supernatural. Many of the eyewitnesses believed. Some went around and talked about it. Those who believed, they saw what Jesus did. They drew conclusions based on the evidence they had seen. They believed Jesus to be the life giver, the promised Messiah. Some went and told on him to the religious leaders. They gave their eyewitness accounts to the chief priests and Pharisees. The religious leaders have a problem. There was no denying this evidence. They couldn't simply say it didn't happen. Lazarus was alive. There were a lot of witnesses. Jesus had done many supernatural signs, and they acknowledge that fact. Many supernatural signs identifying himself as the King who comes in the name of the Lord. They were worried that if he keeps running around doing all these supernatural things, that everyone might believe in him. We begin to see here in the religious leaders another response to the supernatural, to the resurrection. These religious leaders were predisposed to disbelief. They were so hardened in their own opinion that they refused to even consider the possibility that they were wrong. Don't confuse me with the facts. My mind is already made up. I'm not interested in looking at any evidence. I know the truth. They were presented with evidence, but the implication of the evidence was a threat to them personally. They had a place, they had a people. They had power, they had authority, they had control. Because so many were believing in Jesus, they were in danger of losing their privileges, losing their position. These men were not interested in truth. They didn't give a rip about what was true. They gave a rip about themselves. And whatever it cost, to protect themselves and what they thought was valuable. They knew the evidence, but they felt they personally had a lot to lose, and they considered what they would lose as more important than truth. Verse 53 gives their shocking conclusion. So, from that day on, they made plans to put him to death. Jesus is running around doing these signs. We're going to lose face. We're in trouble. Let's kill him. That's the only way to stop it, apparently. Because he keeps on doing this stuff, so we'll have to get rid of him. They are so threatened that they want to discount and demolish and destroy all evidence. The evidence poses a threat to them that they must dispose of it. Jesus must be stopped. Jesus must be killed. That's their conclusion. Let's kill Jesus. Well, let's keep reading. Down in John 11, verse 57, into chapter 12. Now the chief priests and the Pharisees had given orders that if anyone knew where Jesus was, he should let them know so that they might arrest him. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus therefore came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. So they gave a dinner for him there. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those reclining with him at table. Quite a dinner party. Both Jesus, the miracle worker, and his friend whom he had earlier raised from the dead, Lazarus, the one who had been in a tomb 4 days, and now we're going to eat together. Down in verse 9, it says, when the large crowd of the Jews learned that Jesus was there, they came, not only on account of him, but also to see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. So the chief priests made plans to put Lazarus to death as well, because on account of him, many of the Jews were going away and believing in Jesus. These religious leaders actually wanted to take this man who had already died and been in a tomb and now is alive. They wanted to kill him again. Because Lazarus was incontestable evidence that Jesus is who he claimed to be. They're like, we need to stop the miracles, we need to kill Jesus, but we need to dispose of the evidence. We need to kill Lazarus too. Because everybody's saying, well, why should we believe in Jesus? Well, look at Lazarus. He's alive. We were there. We saw it happen. If they can get rid of Lazarus, they move a step forward in convincing people that Jesus is a fraud. Rather than reconsider their conclusions in light of the evidence, they simply want to do away with the evidence. These religious leaders were willing to bear false witness. These religious leaders were willing to commit murder in order to get rid of the evidence. Now, if your leaders are willing to break the commandments in order to protect themselves and their position, it's time to stop following those wicked men. Verse 17, the crowd that had been with him when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to bear witness. The reason why the crowd went to meet him was that they heard he had done this sign. So the Pharisees said to one another, you see, you are gaining nothing. Look, the world has gone after him. This passage tells us that the Palm Sunday crowd that welcomed Jesus as the King of Israel, the one who comes in the name of the Lord, they came out because they had heard this sign, the sign of the resurrection of Lazarus. The crowd that witnessed the supernatural event, the resurrection of Lazarus, they continued to testify to the truth of the identity of Jesus, and they were gaining momentum. People were believing. The Pharisees were in trouble. The chief priests were threatened. Now many people say that if they are only presented with enough evidence, they will be convinced. Just show me the evidence and then I'll believe. If you can show me enough evidence to persuade me, to convince me, sure, I'll believe. That is simply not true. That is not true. Some are so content with their pride, some are so content with their power, their privilege, their position, that there is no evidence that would convince them. In fact, they will seek to destroy any evidence you bring. Witness the Jewish leaders. Jesus told a story in Luke chapter 16 about a rich man and a poor beggar, coincidentally named Lazarus. Both died. Lazarus was carried to Abraham's side. The rich man was in a place of torment, where it says he was in anguish in the flame and crying out for some kind of a relief, a drop of water on the tip of his tongue, because he could get no relief. He then asked for Lazarus to be sent back to warn his brothers so that they would not also end up in that place of torment. Luke 16, verse 29. But Abraham said, "They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them." And he said, "No, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent." He said to them, "If they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced if someone should rise from the dead." That's exactly what happened. Lazarus rose from the dead, and the Pharisees said, "Oh, now we got to kill him too." The rich man believes that if his brothers just have enough evidence, some supernatural evidence, then they will believe. He is dead wrong. He's dead and he's wrong. He's dead wrong. Abraham points them back to Moses and the prophets, the written word of God, the scriptures, the Old Testament scriptures. He says, "This is enough. If you're not going to believe this, okay. What are you going to do? I have Moses and the prophets. Let them listen to them." Friends, that's scary. If you are holding out for some supernatural sign, God says, "This supernatural book that I've given to you, it's in there. Listen to it." Supernatural experiences do not save. This is a heart problem. Some of you today might be in this position. Your heart is so hardened to the possibility that the Bible is true and Jesus is who he claimed to be. Some of you might be so comfortable, so content with what you already believe about God, that even if what you believe is contradicted by all the evidence and the clear teaching of God's word, you will stay where you are. Because you feel threatened. You feel you have just too much to lose. It's hard to be wrong. It's harder to admit you were wrong. Some people are so proud that they will go to hell before they admit that they were wrong. Even if Jesus really is who he claims to be, all the evidence points that he is, some still will refuse to believe. I pray that none of you are that person. What can we say about those who saw Lazarus raised from the dead and did not believe, but instead went and reported what they had seen to the religious leaders? They believed in a sense. They saw it happen. They knew it to be true. Jesus raised a guy, dead 4 days from the tomb. He was now alive. They believed that it was truth. They saw it. They saw what they saw. A dead man came out of the tomb. They may have even been those who helped to unwrap him. They knew it to be true. They believed that the event happened, but they did not believe what that supernatural event pointed to, what it meant. They did not believe in Jesus. Because that event was carried out to point people to the identity of Jesus. Follow Jesus. This is who He is. He's the one who has power over life and death. He's God in the flesh. But they didn't follow Jesus. They went and reported what they had seen. They were curious onlookers. They were fascinated. They were amazed. They were excited. They didn't want to miss out on anything. They came to see. And they went to tell. Some of those who came to dinner, maybe they were not so interested in who Jesus was. They came out of curiosity. They heard, a dead guy is alive. I want to see that. That's amazing. They were intrigued. Have you ever noticed driving along the freeway, traffic slows to a crawl for what seems hours? You finally get to the accident scene. There's a crushed car, a few emergency vehicles. On the other side of the freeway, all the lanes are clear. Why did we slow down for an hour? Everybody wants to see. They get an accident because they're slowing down to see. Now there is an accident in your lane. None of them intend to stop to see if there's anyone hurt, to get out and help, offer assistance. You don't see people pulling over saying, "What can I do?" They're just curious. And then continue on. Maybe snap a picture, post it on Facebook, and tell their friends how long they sat in traffic and why. News. I was there. I can tell you all about it. I sat in that traffic, and I rubbernecked as I went by. It was a mess. Car was all crunched. Looked like somebody was really hurt. Kept driving. They don't really care about the people involved. They just want to be in the know. They want to have the information so they can pass it on to others. Do you think that these people who told the chief priests and the Pharisees what Jesus had done intended to play a part in getting him killed? Because they did. It was because of their news that the religious leaders decided we've got to do something. We've got to remove this guy. Do you think they cared? They believed the event really happened, but they went on with life as if it was just one more wreck on the side of the road that they got to see. Some of you today might believe that Jesus really was crucified, that he really did rise from the dead. But that information doesn't change the way you live your life. Friends, Jesus is alive. One day you will stand before Him and answer to Him. If you knew that I died for your sins and rose from the dead, why did you not follow me? Why did you not care? The resurrection of Jesus is a historical fact. There was a man named Jesus, lived in Nazareth, executed on a Roman cross, buried in a tomb tomb secured by a Roman guard, the body went missing. His enemies could not produce the body, even though that would put to rest all the rumors that were going around about the resurrection. Literally hundreds of eyewitnesses claimed to see the risen Lord with their own eyes over the next 40 days, many of them in groups. Not some supernatural bedroom experience, but this was a group manifestation. Some of them were skeptical. Many of them were skeptical. They had to be convinced. They witnessed him eating and drinking. Some even having the opportunity to touch his physical body, physically authenticate the wounds from the crucifixion. A large group saw his body ascend into the sky and disappear. Many of his followers suffered execution because they continued to testify to the identity and the resurrection of Jesus. The only viable explanation for the evidence is that Jesus really did supernaturally rise from the dead. If that is true, then we must look carefully at Jesus, at who he claimed to be, at what he taught. Jesus claimed to be the way, the truth, the life, the only way to the Father. And he calls us to come to him to follow him. We must take seriously what he said. The only religious leader who has ever claimed to be God and then risen from the dead to authenticate his claims, he deserves not just to be talked about, he deserves to be followed. I imagine that very few of those who were present when Lazarus was actually raised from the tomb doubted it, that the event really happened. They saw it. They had an opportunity to talk to the man afterwards. They had friends that were there. So did that really? Yeah, I was there too. It wasn't a dream. It was real. I doubt many of them doubted the event. But I imagine that many who weren't there but heard the testimony of those who were, heard their story, many would be skeptical. What? An alien? No, a guy rose from the... That's crazy. That doesn't happen. You can go talk to him. He lives in Bethany. What? No, I don't... That's crazy. I imagine that's probably why so many showed up to that dinner in Bethany. It's like, can we come over? We'd like to talk to him. That's curious. There's really a guy who was dead for 4 days that's now we can have dinner with him. I imagine many were skeptical. There is nothing wrong with being skeptical. Most of the disciples were skeptics about Jesus' resurrection. The disciples didn't believe the women who first went to the tomb that claimed to see the resurrected Jesus. They're like, man, a bunch of ladies, can't trust them, that's crazy. Well, let's get Peter, John, let's go check it out. This turned a little, drinking too much wine, I don't know what's going on, let's go see. They didn't believe. Peter went back fishing. Thomas, he missed out on the first appearance to the other 10 disciples. He wasn't there. They told him, he's like, fooled me once, shame on me, fooled me twice, no. Unless I put my fingers in the nail prints, unless I can thrust my hand into his side, I want to see evidence, or I won't believe. Thomas refused to believe unless he could touch the evidence with his own hands, and Jesus gladly presented him with that evidence. Thomas is not rebuked for being a skeptic. But after presenting him with the evidence, Jesus does tell him now, stop doubting and believe. It's not wrong to be a skeptic. What do you do with the evidence you've been given, though? Now you're accountable. Some of you today might be skeptics, and to you I want to say, welcome. Welcome. Ask questions. Ask lots of questions. Don't believe anything anybody tells you. Investigate. Scrutinize the evidence. Passionately pursue truth. But make sure that you are willing, that you are willing to follow that truth, no matter what it costs you. Or you will just be one of those religious leaders who says, yeah, now I know the evidence and I'm still going to just try to stuff that somewhere where I don't have to look at it. Investigate, but be willing to follow the truth. Some who saw the supernatural sign or heard about it, they listened to Jesus and they believed in him. They became his followers. Some of them gave up their businesses. Some of them gave up their livelihood. They gave up their families to follow Jesus. Some gave up everything. Many of them suffered horrific deaths that they could have escaped if they only would renounce Jesus as a fraud. Jesus' followers experienced and taught that the same power that raised Jesus from the dead was at work in his followers. The same resurrection power that raised Jesus from the dead began to clothe the timid with boldness. It transformed some fishermen, a tax collector, and a zealot into heralds of the truth. The resurrection power, as they begin to follow Jesus and believe in Jesus, that resurrection power began to transform sinners into forgiven warriors who were willing to lay down their own lives for the sake of their master. Willing to let go of everything and go to the ends of the earth to make him known. So I ask you again, where do you see yourself in this story? Are you so set in what you believe that you are not even interested in what is true? Are you a curious onlooker, intrigued by the supernatural, even believing that Jesus might be who he claimed to be, but it makes no difference in your life? Are you a skeptic, yet unconvinced, but you really do want to know what is true? Or are you convinced that Jesus is God, come in the flesh to die for your sins? You have come to him to be forgiven of those sins, and you are willing to follow him wherever he leads. It's my prayer that wherever you are, God would so work in your heart that you would become a believer. That you would become a follower of Jesus. That you would experience his resurrection power at work in you to transform you. That you would experience life that Jesus came to give. Resurrection life, abundant life. Let me pray for you. Father, thank you for sending your only Son to be the sacrifice to pay for the sins of the world. Thank you that you freely extend pardon, mercy, forgiveness to all those who call upon the name of the Lord, that cry out to Jesus for salvation. Jesus, thank you for coming and dying. Thank you that you didn't stay dead. Thank you that you just didn't vanish, but you presented yourself as evidence, so that our faith is not founded on a rumor, but on a historical fact, an event where there were eyewitnesses who recorded their testimony. Lord, I pray for each and every person in this room within the sound of my voice. I pray that those with hard hearts, with minds already made up, that God, you are stronger than their hearts. I pray that you would crack those hard hearts wide open and soften them by your Holy Spirit to the truth of who you are. We saw some Pharisees turn to follow Jesus. So if there are any Pharisees in this room, we pray that you would turn them into Jesus-loving, passionate followers of you. Lord, for any skeptics here, I pray that they would passionately pursue truth, that they would study and examine the evidence. And I pray that that evidence would lead them, as it has so many skeptics before, that lead them to the foot of the cross, where they can find forgiveness for sins and eternal life. Lord, for those who are here today because they're supposed to show up in church on Easter Sunday, and they don't really care about you. It's an event, something that happened, something good to do. God, I pray that you would crush them with the weight of the reality of who you are and the length of eternity, and that this really matters. I pray that they would wake up and see that a God who came down and died for our sins and rose from the dead is worthy not just to be given a notice once or twice a year, but worthy to be followed every hour of every minute of every day. You're worthy to have us lay down our lives for you in passionate obedience out of love for you. And God, I pray that you would stir our hearts to follow you. And Lord, those who already believe, pray that you would deepen our commitment to you, that you would deepen our trust in you, deepen our love for you, that we would more passionately pursue you, that we would more passionately pursue your truth, and that we would passionately pursue the lost and bring them boldly the good news that Jesus is alive and he is King. And he has paid the price. So God, I pray for each one of us that you would draw us to yourself, that you would be at work in us by your Holy Spirit, that you would make us new. We pray this for your own glory, for the sake of your great name, for the increase of worshipers who sing your praises and are deeply in love with you. Pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All you who believe in Jesus, you have the greatest news in history, so go tell somebody. Amen. All you who are skeptical, investigate. ask questions. There's a lot of people in this room who would love to sit down with you and point you to the evidence and open God's Word with you and point you to Jesus. All you who don't care or whose heart is hard, pray to God that He would soften your heart. Cry out to Him for mercy, that you would not be stuck where you are, because you might feel like you have a lot to lose. You have no idea what it is to follow Jesus, the joy of knowing your sins all forgiven, knowing the King of the universe, having a relationship with Him, being able to talk to Him every day, knowing that He cares personally, individually about you. He loves you. I pray that you would taste and see that the Lord is good and that you would fall in love with Him and forget about yourself. So God bless you. Thanks for being here this morning. I pray that you would get answers to your questions. I pray that you would get to know Jesus today. I pray that you would have just an awesome day, Resurrection Sunday, celebrating that Jesus is alive and He's your friend, He's your King, and He's your Savior. God bless you. Go in the peace of the Lord.